The Lord be with you.
And
read from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it. But he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. She begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first. It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." And he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to tell you a story that possibly some of you have heard, but I think it's probably the best story that we can apply to the first reading today, which makes me shudder. I'm shaking in my boots almost at the first reading. If you really understood the first reading, it's scary. It's scary. So here's the story. Da Vinci, great painter, one of the greatest, painting the Last Supper, decides to choose men at random to pose for his painting. Finds a young, very attractive man, and that's Jesus. Then he gets Peter and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and James the Less and Matthew and Nathaniel. And Jude Thaddeus, he gets the 11 of the apostles, and they all willingly pose for this painting. But it took him a while to find Judas Iscariot. So it took him a while to fit the picture of the betrayer. So he's walking the streets of Rome, and he sees a man that's lying in the gutter. Today it'd be one of those homeless people we see underneath the bridge. And he sees this man, yeah, he would be a perfect fit for Judas Iscariot. So he draws close to the man and says, "Sir, can you do me a favor?" And the man says, "What would you like?" He said, "I'm painting the Last Supper. And I've got Jesus, I've got 11 apostles, but I couldn't seem to find the person that would fit Judas Iscariot. And I thought you would be a perfect fit." That moment, a tear starts to trickle down the cheek of the man, then another one. And Da Vinci says, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I'm crying because 3 years ago, you asked me to pose for the painting, and I was Jesus Christ." You're here now. Will you be here next year? I don't know. Will I be here? I don't know. We got to be humble. I was shuddering when I was listening to the first reading. Wow. Does the Word of God touch you, or you're kind of
be numbed.
The word of God should touch us. Philip and Mary walking the streets of Rome, he saw a bum on the street. What he said? Ecco me senza la grazia di Dio. I was speaking in Italian now, okay? Because he spoke Italian. And he said, there am I, save the grace of God. Let me give you a couple examples. All of us have ancestors. My ancestors come from England, okay? Yours from Italy, right? My great-great-great ancestors come from England. Broome is an English name. Who was a very fervent Catholic in the 16th century? Henry VIII. Did you know that? He even wrote a treatise on the Eucharist. Now, he was a king, but he had a certain theological dimension to his person. And to the end, he believed in the Eucharist. What was his weak point? The same weak point of Solomon, yeah? And they're both kings, right? Okay, it's interesting, the reading today. Spend some time reading it, because the book of Kings is really coming down strong on Solomon today. Here you have the wisest man in the world that ends up as the biggest fool in the world. You hear me? I know it's strong words, but it's true. This was the wisest man in the world. The Queen of Sheba traveled many miles and brought him tons of money and sat at his feet, and everything that she asked Solomon, he was able to respond to. Everything. He was the wisest man in the world. He ends up as the biggest fool in the world. Wow. The reason, and it's the biggest sin that's dominating the American society today, and it is the sin of lust. Much worse today than it was back then, of course. But apparently David, he repented. Right? If you don't believe me, read Psalm 51. David repented. Did Solomon repent? Have any of you ever read the life of Teresa of Avila? She once asked the Lord, was Solomon saved? And Jesus did not respond. This is Teresa of Avila. I read the lives of the saints. Was he saved? Jesus would not respond. I find it fascinating because some of the most beautiful writings in the Bible are from Solomon. You know, the wisdom literature, Sirach, Ecclesiastes, they're attributed some of these to Solomon, some of those beautiful writings in the world, to a man who maybe he wasn't even saved. I don't know about you people, but I struggle with this. I'm a theologian, and I kind of battle with this. And why? Read the reading. I told you this is the third time. Read the reading today. What does Solomon do? He's got a harem of women, okay? Harem, you know what that means? Huge number. And a lot of these women, they're not Jewish women. They're pagans. And they're pagans that are worshiping a false god. It's not just one woman, he's got a whole harem. And apparently what's happened, you have to read in between the lines. These pagan women have talked to Solomon about their gods. And they're pushy. They're assertive. And they tell Solomon about their false gods, and Solomon listens to them. You know, for sex, men will do anything at times, huh? And what happens is they talk to him about these false gods, and apparently they say, well, you've got a lot of money. Why don't you build for us a temple in honor of these false gods? That's what's happening. In literature, you have to learn how to read between the lines. It's not expressed there explicitly, but that's what's happening. So he's built the most beautiful temple in the world, okay, in Jerusalem. Which, by the way, the Romans are going to tear down in the year 68, as Jesus prophesied. It was probably the most majestic architectural structure in the world back then. It took years to build. Now he's building these false gods in honor of all these idols that these women that they're living with him in the harem. And the Bible today says God was very angry at Solomon, very angry. How would you feel if you went today and you closed the door in your room and God spoke to you and said, I'm very angry at you? How would you feel? I think I would die. I don't like it when you get angry at me. You probably don't like it if I get angry at you, right? But knowing that God's angry at us? Wow. And it's not God's fault. It's the fault of Solomon, because basically God's angry at Solomon because Solomon has rejected God. God has feelings. God has a heart. This is a very powerful passage. Okay, let me apply this to us right now. How many of you have children? Have any of your children left the practice of the faith? Hello? Hello? Can I tell you why? It's the same sin of Solomon, that your son and daughter, the reason why they have left the faith. Okay, I think I have to be a little more explicit. Some of you are shocked. No one says it except Father Broom. Okay? What is the false god that your son has set up? He went to the university, he stopped praying, fell into desolation, and now he's looking at pornography and falling into masturbation. Sorry I'm so blunt, but someone has to say it. And he doesn't want to give that up. For me, it's a no-brainer. For me, it's a no-brainer. It isn't for you, but it is for me. And he's going to point his finger at, look at the Bishop McCarrick, look at some of these priests, look at the hypocrisy in the church. That's a cop-out. It's a scapegoat, huh? It's a cop-out. Because he doesn't want to look in the mirror and look at the fact that he is a slave of his own passions, as Solomon is in the Bible today. And I'm the only one that's saying it, but it's so clear. It's like having an elephant in your bathroom. There's an elephant in your bathroom? Is there an elephant in my bathroom? He's about to sit on you and flatten you like a pancake. So the word of God is very, very applicable to us, but we have to have a priest that interprets it, right? So let's, hey, you know, I could fall and all of you could fall. You hear me? We're all very, very weak. We're all very fragile. If we don't rely on God, my friends, we're lost. So I think the fruit of this preaching for all of us is we have to be very humble. Very humble. Very humble. And we have to be very prayerful. We have to pray for the gift of perseverance. The woman in the gospel today is a beautiful example. Humble, confident, perseverance. So let's pray for the grace that we would persevere to the end. And maybe our children who are slaves of these false gods that are mentioned in the first reading, that they'll come back to the true God, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.